Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tip Balls Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Randazzo. And I am joined by my two slightly sunburnt co-hosts. To my right, it is the one and only Uncle Sam.
Hello.
And to my left, it is none other than our very own blog extraordinaire, Mr. Zolo, Mike Palazzolo. How's it going?
Blessed. Everything's good.
And behind the computer, as always, looking like a complete vagabond, it is Bruce, the tugboat. Venditti.
How you doing?
The fact that you still don't have...
He should look like... You know what he looks like? He should be laying on that couch that Ian fucking did the interview with.
Wait, what?
Ian, he did the interview with the couch? He looks
Yeah.
Oh, the casting couch.
The
casting couch.
Bruce looks like he's fresh off the casting couch. We need to get the Bruce cam set up. I'm just saying. He is
right. I have Gymshark shorts on and a... Whatever the fuck you call this.
Plastic.
A Tip Balls hoodie? Some official Tip Balls licensed merch?
If you want to say.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my Arabs asked for a Tip Balls sweatshirt. I got to grab one for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the Arabs can have Arab. So actually, I learned something the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying it wrong the whole time. I guess it's not Arab. It's Arab. Arab. So, Arab. Anyway. Friend of the pod, Dan El Hosni in the chat, already asking where your shades are. You have an explanation because the shades were a huge hit.
Let me take the fall. I'll take the blame for you right now. I made a we're doing divisional recaps, and in order to I made a cheat sheet for everyone on the show. In order to get it on a front and back two pages to get four teams on there, I had to make the font small, and Uncle Sam can't see the small font.
I need
font.
At least four pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs the
bifocal.
What do they call it? The accessibility mode.
It's the bifocal
version of our cheat sheet.
So we have his. He has his readers. He's got his bifocals on today, so he could.
Sorry,
that is my fault. I will make him one with bigger fonts.
You know what?
Going forward.
Fuck that. I'm good, dude. I got you, baby. I got you. There we go.
Wow! Just whipped them out.
All right, I'm good.
Anyways,
I'm ready to go.
Anyways,
these are my shooting glasses.
I love it. Dan,
when you go to the range, Dan, you got to wear a pair of these, bud.
That's it. First things first, we need a big congratulations here. Tip softball last night. Momentous first win of the season. Momentous first win. Everybody contributed. We had one iffy inning. One. Inning two, we allowed seven runs. Didn't allow another run the whole game. It was a 13-7 final score. One bad inning. Didn't matter. We still took home the W. So shout out to Tip Softball, even though you choose not to be part of it. All three of us were there and playing at a very, very high
Mike.
Level.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Congratulate Sam.
Because I know you probably had to play.
He did play.
Because somebody else didn't.
I didn't play.
He can't play. Bruce actually made a play behind the plate. Him and I alternated every inning.
They're the catchers.
And an observation
Why the fuck is Bruce playing catcher, dude?
What do you mean? Because he won't play outfield.
He can run. He
won't play outfield.
No. We have enough.
And we have enough outfield.
Everything's quality now. We have quality outfielders. Combination's good. So Bruce and I are the worst ones at fielding on the team. Therefore, we catch.
There you go.
So it worked perfect.
Doesn't surprise me.
Bruce isn't bad.
A base runner.
But Bruce has no effort, per usual. Just like everything else in life, Bruce shows no
when
effort.
You're out there speedballing his little fucking pot fucking thing. That's why.
Something else I observed
yesterday. By the fifth inning.
It was the inning he caught, by the way. It was the second inning. So him and I alternated. There's seven innings. The only inning they scored was the second inning when they got the seven runs.
Yes.
We shut them out in six out of seven innings, which is incredible defense.
Which I think three of the innings were 1-2-3 innings.
Yeah.
Three innings were 1-2-3 innings. So, yeah, great. Oh, yeah, and Cousin PJ. So, again, I got to elaborate on people in the chat. Cousin PJ, another Randazzo in the chat, wanted to give a shout-out to Nikki number zero. We have to give a shout out to Big Habibi. He did have a monstrous hit last night.
Chris Cornell did too.
Cousin Steven, another cousin, another friend of the pod in the chat. Tip Softball is going to run the league. I'm not going to say anything now.
Snatching balls in the outfield.
I'm not going to say anything right. Yeah. He had a 56 inch vertical to catch
Spider-Man.
A ball yesterday. Yeah. Fantastic Spider-Man. Game out of Cousin Steven. But I will say I'm going to set the over under on wins this year at 8 right now. I think we're an 8-2 team.
My goal is I would love to finish. We finished in third last year. There were two teams in front of us.
Correct.
Dobie and Barley Boys.
Correct.
I would love to finish in second. I would love to find a way to beat Dobie because they're incredible and they're talented, but also we were close on one occasion to beating them, and I would love to get close to beating
them. We're going to be like the Lions this year. We'll lose one game that we should to either Barley Boys or Dobie, and then we'll just absolutely diarrhea the bed against, like, Birds of Prey or the group of old men. But anyways, enough about Tip softball, even though it was a momentous first game. And you have to remember, we had a bye week one. So everybody else had a game on us, and we still came out, knocked the rust off after the second inning, ready to go. Anyways, it's Wednesday. How has your week been so far?
I had a bad episode today at the
Westland City Hall.
Should I go there? Westland City Hall.
Westland City Hall.
With the fucking water department over there, because these guys are making up the rules as they go. The people that work there are just fucking living in a dream world. And
you had to be escorted out of the Westland City Hall today.
Well,
I
didn't. No. I was hung up on. I escorted myself out before I lost my fucking temper.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody else has gone through this, but you know, the water department gives you stuff, a meter and other things to basically have an idea of how much water you use. When you don't think their equipment is correct, you're not wrong to fucking question it. And I'm telling you right now, I think they're all fucking scam. I think it's a scam. I think they're full of shit. They're fucking cheating people. And it's just wrong. It's fucking wrong.
So you heard it here first. Westland.
Westland is fucking full of shit. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. They say, you know, if they can't get a reading on their equipment that they're fucking responsible for, they are fucking responsible for their own equipment, but they hold people accountable because their equipment is dog shit. And that's fucking wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And these fuckers, I'm ready to lose my mind here again. I can't accept the fact that if you're basically, they're supplying you their stuff to read your stuff to make you pay them, how do you know it's right?
Okay, are you?
How do we know this?
Are you allowed back in City Hall?
Yeah, because they didn't kick me out. Security didn't
come. If you have to go back.
If I go back there, dude, I'm sure they're calling the police.
Okay. Just wanted to. Just
I'm fucking sure they're going to call the police.
Security at a city hall is an actual law enforcement officer. So just
He was outside playing with his cack. So you know what? I wasn't worried about him, regardless, dude. Trust me, he was nothing to worry about. But fucking, I just think it's wrong. I think it's wrong that they take advantage of people. And listen, I don't know about you guys. I don't know what your water bills are every couple months. Listen, I pay anywhere from $300 to $400 a fucking month for water, dude.
No, in three to months. Me, it's three
to,
months.
To me, no, it's every two and a, it's like two months and a week. And that's fucking ridiculous. I already had a conversation about your stuff. But anyway, the normal person can't afford $300, $400, $500 fucking water bills, dude. That's ridiculous, dude. No different than the gas. Everybody's paying fucking $350, $360, $370 a gallon right now for garbage fucking gas. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. All these motherfuckers in government are thieves. They're all thieves. They're all crooks. They can all go fuck themselves. Thank you.
Zolo, hopefully your week is going better so far.
It's not bad. It's dragging. But I want to take that opportunity to promote my blog that just dropped a couple minutes before.
Perfect.
A couple minutes before we went on the air.
I mean, you couldn't have set this up any better.
I'm sure most of you have heard at this point about the Bally Sports and Xfinity debacle.
Caused my dad to have a full meltdown today at work when the Tigers game was supposed to come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full meltdown.
I actually cited, and I wrote a nice 1,500-word blog post about it. I actually cited the fact that our politicians, for decades, they haven't worked for us. they work for their party and they vote on party lines, and they also work for the lobbyists that get them elected.
Correct. The ones that are paying them.
And I mentioned that in the article, as well as the fact that no corporation ever works or cares for you, which is why Xfinity, the largest TV provider in the country, for the little
Comcast,
people left.
Comcast. That's Comcast for you that don't know what it is.
For the people who haven't cut the cord yet, Xfinity, which I have at home. Do you still have cable at home?
I still have Xfinity too.
Direct TV.
And they fist pump me at least every month.
Didn't reach agreement with another shitty, selfish organization in Sinclair Media, Bally Sports, essentially, which is a very poorly run organization. They haven't reached agreement on a contract, and therefore us Xfinity users, which more people in Metro Detroit have Xfinity than any other service, we can't watch the Tigers, who finished with a winning record in April for the first time in 8 years. We can't watch the Tigers. If the Wings were in the playoffs right now, we wouldn't be able to watch them. If the Pistons were in the playoffs right now, we wouldn't be able to watch them. And right now, we can't watch our teams. And a lot of people in the country, Xfinity's a big company, a lot of people in the country can't watch their teams right now because they haven't agreed on a deal. And that's because those companies don't fucking care about you. They don't care about us.
Yeah. Doubling down on that, if you haven't found your way to tippedballs.com yet, which most of you probably haven't because we haven't plugged it all that often on here, because prior to last week, our last blog post was from Uncle Sam in February of 2022. But if you have, then you will see that in the
That's a hell of a post too, by the way.
In the last 4 days, there have been 4 blog uploads. And the Bally Sports one is the latest. You should go read that. And then if you find yourself needing more, Zolo wrote 2 great articles in a row on the 5 best and 5 worst draft classes in the NFL, much to Uncle Sam's dismay, the Raiders, and also what sporting events Detroit deserves next. They are all great articles. You should go check all of them out. But don't leave watching us to go check them out. Do it after the show. Because we have a fantastic show on our off-season recap for the AFC West. We are going to go division by division. We are going to break down signings, releases, staff changes, and draft picks for every single division in the NFL. AFC West is a starting point. Why? Because the Chiefs are the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, and we just need to get this out of the way because I think we all kind of know how this division is going to go. Even though this isn't previewing, it's recapping, I think it's a good place to start.
There was one thing I wanted to add in there. Okay. Listen, the only reason why I went there is because I was hung up on, and I can't let that lie.
You couldn't just let it go.
No, I couldn't let it go.
We can't be hung up on, and we can't.
No, because
emails.
Guess what? I called back and I hung up on them.
That's not
so
good
that
enough.
Then I went there.
That's not good enough.
No. That's how you do
that's
it.
That's egregious.
That's how you do it.
That's egregious that a municipal worker
I go, guess what?
On,
I'm going to pay you back for what you just did to me. I hung up the phone and I went there.
Well,
I went there and they gave me somebody else.
I do have to.
They gave me fucking somebody else. You want to know why? Because I'm not, you know what? I'm going to
just
stop.
Don't go there.
I'm going to fucking stop here right now because I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something and I don't want this to set you off. But
go ahead.
If people don't know you, when you are speaking on the phone, you usually sound like you're yelling.
Oh, that's the way I talk.
But correct. It's just the way you talk. You just talk in a very aggressive tone.
She was like, sir, you have to calm down. I was like, I am calm. I'm speaking just like I am right now. Do I talk a little loud?
If I had to guess.
But I am calm. I'm totally calm.
But I'll also kill you with my bare hands.
That's beside the point.
Okay. AFC West, let's start there, and let's start with the back-to-back Super Bowl champion,
that's
Kansas
a joke too.
City Chiefs. As we said on Monday's show, they've agreed to terms with Travis Kelce, contract extension, making him the highest.
I thought he was fucking retiring. Man, what the fuck?
Doesn't look like anytime soon. The highest paid tight end in football, 2 years, $34.25 million. Obviously a mainstay in Kansas City. Do you think he plays out this contract? Do you think he is there for the next 2 years? Or will he follow in his brother's footsteps after this next
season? Listen, he can't do anything else. He can't do anything else. You can't put him on TV. He's fucking outrageous, dude. Nobody wants to see him. He's fucking awful.
I want to see him on TV.
You want to see him on TV? Really, yeah. Dude? Yeah,
their,
I do too.
Their podcast.
I want to see him on TV too on a fucking Target.
Podcast is good.
Their podcast is incredible. It's mainly Jason who carries it, but Travis is still, he brings a lot to the table. Listen, I mean, rightfully so, long time in the making that he's the highest tight end in paid tight end in football. I think this is the end, though. I think after these 2 years, he's probably done.
So, but you do think he makes it to the next 2 years?
Yeah, I do.
Which is good, obviously. Patrick,
I think if they have success, they win another one here, he's done. I think he's gone.
Patrick Mahomes' favorite target, probably a top three tight end in the history of football so far. I mean,
yeah.
So they obviously keep that weapon. They also re-signed Detroit boy Mike Dana, defensive end. He agreed to a 3-year deal, $24 million over 3 years, $13 million guaranteed. So keeping a little bit of firepower there on their defense. But a bigger piece of news came out just a few weeks ago, the Rashee Rice incident, where he was caught street racing in Texas and then crashed a Lamborghini and a Corvette that were both in his name. And
there goes that signing bonus.
Then fleed the scene. So what do we know about this? He got arrested. He turned himself in.
He turned himself in, yeah.
He turned himself in. We don't have any disciplinary action yet from the NFL or the Chiefs.
They always wait to see how that – and some people get mad because there's a video of something and they everyone wants heads to roll instantly. But the NFL strategically and the Chiefs, they will wait until they see how court proceedings go, whatever, to see how this unfolds. And I can't imagine this unfolding – before the season starts. So I don't know if that means he is left out of training camp or whatever until
okay,
the finishes.
So he was racing the cars, smashed the cars, fleed the scene. That's fleeing and eluding, by the way.
People were hurt.
You might as well go right there.
People were hurt. So it adds.
Did anyone die?
No. I don't think
nobody died.
I don't, right?
Nobody died. Was anybody maimed?
There was three people sent to the hospital. One ended up in the ICU and then was later discharged. So,
okay. So everybody's not crippled?
There was an article that came out about an hour ago that said that the Chiefs are reportedly expecting Rashee Rice to be suspended at least half the year after the court proceedings are done. So
that's interesting to me.
8-game suspension, I mean, possibly.
Was there any kind of alcohol involved? Obviously not, probably.
No. They found weed in the car.
They did find marijuana in the car.
There you go.
And this is Texas.
But it's legal.
Well, it's Texas.
It doesn't matter.
Legal. I don't think it's legal.
Marijuana's legal. It's not legal amongst all the states, no?
It's not legal in Texas.
It's not legal in Florida. It's not legal in Texas.
Well, get ready, son.
Yeah, and that is
like
CBS.
You could, smoke some cigars here real soon.
That is a CBS Sports report saying that they are expect at least a minimum of 6 games.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Again, that
for
is
for drag
not,
racing.
Well, no, it's for smashing into a bunch of people
and
fleeing
looting and looting and
drag racing.
High like Bruce.
Didn't Addison get hit for drag racing last year or something? Somebody did. And it was, I don't think they received a suspension, but when you hit everybody and smash up a bunch of cars and then leave, different story.
You know, I don't want to dig too deep into this, but 30 years ago, before there was cameras and phones and this and that, and I've seen a lot worse and done a lot worse.
Do you think the fact that they picked
never did time for it?
Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy with the 28th overall pick, does that give you any inkling in the fact that Rashee Rice may be not there for the season?
They were always taking a wide receiver or two in this draft, and they were going to take him high. So, no. This is the rich getting richer if Rashee Rice comes back.
So, obviously, Rashee Rice probably in the position to be the number one guy in Kansas City now?
I think Xavier Worthy is the number one guy.
You do?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that Worthy pick, number one?
Needed a guy that could go that could stretch the field, and they got one.
They also signed a quarterback. Carson Wentz.
The ghost of Carson Wentz.
The ghost of Carson Wentz is now a Kansas City Chief. Also bringing back Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, which is kind of surprising to me because that backfield really worked well when it was Pacheco and I'm blanking on a name right now, the receiving guy, McKinnon. McKinnon.
McKinnon's still there?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't really fit in there very well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was hurt a lot too last year, no?
Yeah.
He missed a lot of time with the injury last year.
Yes, he did. But he was also a healthy scratch certain ways.
When you're as good as the Chiefs are, something that makes them tick at this point, something like one of the reasons for their success is continuity. And even if guys that we've – it's the same thing that made the Patriots good. Even if we don't value them as high or we look at it from that fantasy football lens, the Chiefs clearly value Clyde Edwards-Helaire high enough to where they sign him and they want him to be a part of a third Super Bowl with them. So it matters to them. It doesn't matter to us. And, yeah, I mean, I think they think he's going to be an impactful player because he knows what they do. So it makes a lot of sense.
They traded away cornerback Lajarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans. They received a seventh-round pick this year, which they used on C.J. Hansen, a guard out of Holy Cross. But they also received a third-round pick from 2025 for him. That's kind of a big loss for them in that secondary. They could not come to terms on a deal with him. And ultimately, I think that led for him leaving. How big of a gap does that
be? I don't think it's easy when your quarterback makes fucking $50 million. It's hard to sign these role-playing guys that deserve money, and you just can't sign them because you can't afford it. That's why you see a lot of the guys from the Chargers gone.
I think they're in reload and not rebuild status, and that's why they took McDuffie 2 years ago in the first round. Yeah. Was he all-pro last year or Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, he was every bit as good, if not better, than Lajarius Sneed was last season and played more like CB1 towards the end of the year. So I think they're okay enough with that position to where they're
McDuffie was playing on the line of scrimmage. He was playing that slot deal, and he really excelled at that. So who knows? Maybe switching this position to the outside, we'll see if he can handle that or not.
Their defense goes as their D-line does, and they have one of the best D-lines in football.
And they added on to that with – I'm going to butcher his last name here – nose tackle Derek
Nnadi. He's been there. He was there before.
Yeah.
He's always been stout.
He's solid. That's a solid player there.
He'll thrive next to Chris Jones.
Also, another defensive player that they signed, linebacker Drew Tranquil, 3 years, $19 million deal. No, he's linebacker.
Linebacker. He's kind of a, he plays he's like
hybrid.
A safety. Yeah, he does. He was a safety at Notre Dame, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But they did lose a big defensive guy at the linebacker position, Willie Gay, to the New Orleans Saints.
And that's
Saints.
Big because
I know you're a huge fan of his.
No, he was one of their stout guys that were there for quite a while. And he's a young guy. I was kind of surprised that they let him walk that quick.
It's easily their biggest loss.
Yeah.
That's their biggest bit of attrition. But he's a good linebacker. But they got other good ones, you know. When Bolton's healthy, it's you can't really beat that.
So. Yeah. Him and Bolton came in the league, I believe, the same year.
Did they?
Yeah.
So, jumping back to wide receivers for a second, you have Rashee Rice, you have Xavier Worthy, and they also signed Marquise Hollywood-Brown away from the Cardinals. 1 year, $11 million deal.
On paper, their receivers are better this year than next year. And it only
improves. Last year? Absolutely.
Better this year than last year. And it only gets better if Rashee Rice manages to make it back.
I think one of the knocks on the Chiefs last year was the receiving core. I mean, they didn't really have any meat outside of Rashee Rice coming in halfway.
And they won a Super Bowl.
And they won the Super Bowl.
That's something, though. Basically, their receiving core was dog shit last year. Outside Rice, and they won a Super Bowl. So
I know we really don't want to spend too much time on a punter, but they did have a really good one in Tommy Townsend. He left to sign with Houston.
It's important we spend time on this punter, though. So Matt Ariza, the gentleman who they signed, do you guys know his story by any chance?
Yes.
There was a perfect Real Sports piece on him. I think it's about a year old now, maybe longer. Matt Ariza was signed with the Bills. They called him Punt God. He hits like 80-yard punts. He hits booming punts. This is another example of the rich getting richer. He was released during training camp last year, two years ago. Because there was this very violent statutory rape of an underage girl. He went to San Diego State in San Diego. They investigated it. He was charged. It cost him everything. He was exonerated of everything. It's a really good story. The DA chose not to charge him because this girl, by all evidence that was against this girl, it was consensual. She was underage, but she lied about her age to everybody. And she has premeditated text messages where she's like, "I'm trying to cause problems tonight," essentially, in so many words. I'm not getting the story exactly right. I don't want to victim shame or anything like that. But a long story short is Matt Araiza was blackballed out of the league and shouldn't have been blackballed out of the league. And he would probably have been the best punter over the last couple of years. And they were able to get him because of all these issues on a veteran minimum. And again, he's worth more than what he's getting paid. And it's going to be a big deal. And yeah, Tommy Townsend is a big loss for them because he's one of the reasons he flips the field for them very well. Like their punter coupled with, you know, how well their kicking game is. Like that's one of the reasons the Chiefs are good. And now they have an upgrade at punter and he's cheaper. It's just the rich getting richer.
Outside of that, Zolo, you want to talk about some of these staff changes here?
There's no changes. Again, it's continuity. Steve Spagnuolo wasn't a great head coach. He's probably one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. That's where their success comes from. That's how they were able to manage the 49ers in the Super Bowl. That's how they were able to manage the Ravens on the road. That's how they were able to manage the Bills on the road. The weather played a part against the Dolphins, but the Rembrandt that Spagnuolo painted in the playoffs this year was incredible. And then Dave Taub is literally considered – we have another guy that's solid here as well in Dave Phipp. But Dave Taub is considered the best special teams coordinator in football, and they extended both of those guys.
And then probably the biggest move of the Chiefs offseason, they retained defensive lineman Chris Jones, who Uncle Sam believes is the heartbeat of that team. 5 years, $95 million. What are your thoughts on that one, them keeping you, – you've sat here before.
I think he's shocked. The most important I'm shocked it's 5 years. I'm shocked it's 5-year contract.
Why?
For $95 million. Because he's the best E-tackle in football, period. Aaron Donald's gone. This guy's the best tackle in football.
So why does it shock you that they gave the best tackle
just,
in football?
It shocked me the length of the contract.
Short or long?
I think it's longer than what it should be.
He is old. I think he's 29, right? Or 30, maybe? He's up there in age.
He's 29. Chris Jones, 29. He will be 30 before the season begins, yes. Which, so that is, I mean, you're
going to puts him at 35
years old.
Yeah.
That's his last deal.
If he's playing by the fifth year of this contract, I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked.
He's been relatively healthy, so I think he might make it out. And the term and the money makes sense because some other money is going to come off the books before then, like Kelsey, for example. And if you watch Chris Jones, like you can argue, like we can sub in X and say, oh, this guy's the best D tackle in football. Chris Jones is the friendliest to the eyes if you're watching the tape. He's the one that is the biggest game wrecker when you're watching, even if the stats don't line up. When you're watching him, he just disrupts everything around him and causes problems. And he was a menace in the playoffs this year.
So, yeah, you've got to figure Aaron Donald retired this year at 32.
Yep.
So it will be interesting to see if Chris Jones does play out the entirety of that contract. Obviously, a little bit of a different.
I was surprised that Donald retired. That surprised me. He just didn't want to go through a rebuild, and I get that. Yeah. I get that.
Chiefs draft. Obviously, we talked about Xavier Worthy. In the second round, they took offensive line.
Steel.
Kingsley. Steel.
Suamataya. That's Penei Sewell's cousin. He can play four positions on the line. He could be their left or right tackle of the future. He could be Joe Tooney's replacement. He's incredible. He's extremely athletic, a little bit of a project, so he's not going to play this year. But next year and going forward, he could be a big deal. They stole him, too. They got him right. It was a couple
63.
Picks after 63, so it was the end of the second round. He was a top 40 player in this draft, and I think he was every bit as good as most of the tackles that went in the first round. Other than maybe two or three of them, I think he's every bit as good. He's just a project. He developed a little bit slower, and that's an absolute steal.
In the third round, they went with...
This, to me, was a steal, because I think this kid is better than what people thought that he was.
Wiley?
Go ahead.
Excuse me, fourth round. Jared Wiley, tight end, TCU.
Now, if anybody remembers...
Top
tight
end in the draft. Top
three. He had a really good game against Michigan game that they played in Arizona.
He did.
He had a fucking really good game.
He was one of the best tight ends in the draft. Probably tight end three in the draft, I would say.
He's got experience. Really he's going to be something to watch out. Pat Mahomes is going to love this kid.
And same drill, when you're a good organization like the Chiefs, like the Niners, like the Lions, you're able to draft for depth. You're able to draft guys and stash them. You don't need to get starters with your day two picks. And both of their – I mean, he was a fourth rounder, like you said.
Yeah.
They're going to stash him. But this is a guy that they're thinking, like, we can move him along until Travis Kelce leaves and pair him with Noah Gray, and it could work perfect.
They actually have some nice depth at tight end behind Kelce. They have Noah Gray, who's always been very
– solid.
He's solid for them whenever Kelce is
I don't think he's as good of a blocker as Kelce is. But this kid could probably be the best blocker out of the three.
Well, and they also have Irv Smith Jr. there, who you know
he had a pretty good the Bengals last year.
Yep. Jaden Hicks, defensive back out of Washington State, was also a fourth rounder.
The center here in the fifth, Hunter Norzad, again one of the best at his positions in the draft. There's a premium placed on interior linemen. He's a true center, so he's going to play center. And, again, give it time. A year, maybe two from now, he's going to be starting, and he's a good player.
This is what Andy Reid does. Andy Reid is not stupid. Andy Reid is not stupid. He's always bringing O-linemen in, always.
Well, yeah, and then they went DB in the sixth with Kamal Hayden out of Tennessee.
Yep.
And then went and got a guard, like I said earlier, in the seventh, Mr. C.J. Hansen.
On paper, when you pick in the last pick every round, when your pick is pick 32, this is a very good draft. This is like a top 12 draft this year, in my opinion.
And not picking till the end of every round. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Picking that low at the end of every round? Shit.
Moving on.
Yep.
Let's go to the City of Angels, and let's discuss the Los Angeles Chargers. Obviously, the biggest piece of news out of this offseason for the Chargers was a head coaching hire, which we are all very familiar with, and that was head coach Jim Harbaugh. But they also got a GM.
Yeah, Joe Hortiz, who came from Baltimore. So, of course, keeping it in the family with the Harbaugh thing. He's familiar with John Harbaugh. I can't remember if I think he was in amateur personnel. I don't think he was part of their pro personnel department. You'll have to fact check me on that, but I thought the Chargers had a hell of a draft. I think they also had a really good draft, and you can tell that it was Hortiz pulling the strings. And that's a good get for them because Tom Telesco was good, but he was just kind of blowing his load over the last couple years, and they couldn't get over the hump. Whereas and I think
some of the contracts were just ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah.
They needed a fresh start, a general manager.
Yeah.
He was formerly the director of player personnel in Baltimore for the past 4 years.
So pro. He was on the pro personnel side.
And you have to remember, Chargers coming off of, a 5-12 record last year, finished last in the division. They ended up trading one of their all-timers. And probably at one point, was a top five receiver in the league. Keenan Allen traded to Chicago for a fourth-round pick this year. It's just going to be weird to see Keenan Allen in any uniform other than a Chargers uniform for me.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been such a mainstay there. And just one of the best receivers of, I think, this time, for sure.
He's underrated. There's two guys that are underrated in the league. One is Keenan Allen. The other one's Mike Evans.
They're Those very guys similar are in my so mind for some reason.
Underrated. It's unreal.
I'll never forget Darius Slay, when he was here, compiled a list of, like, the top hardest five guys to cover. And I think both Mike Evans was on there. Devontae Adams was on there. You'd have to fact check me on who. Keenan Allen was on that list, and I think he just – I disagree that he was underrated because Keenan Allen was very heralded a couple years ago. He just had a string of injuries that kept him out of the league.
Hurt. His first couple of years in the league, he was hurt, and that was with Phillip Rivers at the helm. And I remember it well.
It's always been injury-prone.
Because I'm a Phillip Rivers guy, so I know these things. But I think this is how he developed to be such a good receiver, is working with a guy like Phillip Rivers. All those years,
yes.
You learn how to play wide receiver.
2014 collarbone injury, 2015 kidney injury, 2016 torn ACL, 2017 NFL comeback player of the year.
Yep.
So
he was a monster last year.
Too, yes, he was.
Because he was healthy.
It's fantastic.
It was his first healthy year in a while, and even with an injured Herbert, I mean, I know Keenan Allen missed the back end of the season.
Right.
He missed the last couple of weeks, but he was really good. And that's, I mean, it's a good get for Chicago. I don't think he ultimately stays there. I think he moves on to another team at some point. But I understand that
it all depends on how they do.
Well, he's 32.
Yeah.
Probably didn't want to have to go through the rebuild that the Chargers are inevitably going through right now. And Chicago's on the up. And I don't know where
Well, I don't know about that. You know what? Both of those teams are basically in the same position, I think.
I do.
You're talking the Chargers and Bears?
Yes. Absolutely.
I think the Bears are...
Bears are quite a few steps ahead.
They're mostly ahead of the Chargers. We'll see how it goes at quarterback, but I think the Bears are closer to getting somewhere than the Chargers are, personally. But I'm not disqualifying the Chargers. Like, no. Jim Harbaugh, everywhere he's touched, it's turned to gold. It happens quick. I just don't love this roster that he has to work with. I look at them as the Bears last year. You know, the Bears started to compete at the end of the year last year, or the Lions 2 years ago when the Lions started competing at the end of Campbell's first year. I think that's what the Chargers are going to be. I think they're going to be a very competitive team that's going to give you their best shot, but they're just not there talent-wise yet to make it make sense.
They extended the fifth-year option on Rashawn Slater, probably their best offensive lineman.
Yeah, one of Rashawn Slater's a top-five tackle in football.
Yeah. The biggest difference outside of Keenan Allen not being there for me is going to be the backfield. Obviously, Austin Ekeler, bloodline Charger guy, like, just screams Chargers. He is gone now. He has moved on to the Washington Commanders. But they did something interesting. They took both running backs from the Ravens, both J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, and stacked them in that backfield. Number one.
Josh Kelly.
Josh Kelly's gone.
Josh Kelly's gone as well. Is there anything left in the J.K. Dobbins tank? And two, this experiment didn't really work all that well in Baltimore. Do we think there's any chance it works well here?
It comes down to Dobbins' health. And he let off, he had his press conference yesterday, and he let off with, you know, I'm finally fully healthy and I'm planning to remain healthy. So I think there's just going to be an emphasis on that. But Dobbins was one of my favorite college running backs to watch. Yeah, I do too. It's just bad injuries. Just a couple bad injuries away. Man. Yeah,
come on, dude.
I'm with you.
It's all the NFL's fault.
Anyway.
They also, Cameron Dicker, the kicker. Dicker the kicker resigns to a contract extension, and in a giant piece of quarterback news, Easton Stick returns.
The Stick is back.
The Stick. A couple of free agent signings. Cornerback Christian Fulton. Middle linebacker Denzel Perriman. Defensive tackle Puna Ford. Tight ends Hayden Hurst and Will Disley, all free agent signings coming in.
Those are all physical Harbaugh guys. Every one of them.
Both tight ends especially are Harbaugh guys, like without question. They restructured two contracts that were really weighing on them, big money guys, one of which was aging, one of which was injury prone. Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack both restructured to stay.
They're both aging and injury prone.
They didn't leave because they knew they could get away with what they got away with, which is we're just going to restructure our contracts. And they were both effective when healthy last year, but they're obviously, I don't want to say past their primes because they could easily have big years, but they're getting paid more than they should right now, and they knew that, and they restructured to make the team better, and good on them for doing that. But I feel like if things don't go well, this is the last campaign where these two dudes are running it together.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure Khalil Mack has 5 years on Joey Bosa, too. Joey Bosa is only 28, so, I mean, it's not awful, whereas Khalil Mack's going to be 34 when the season starts. Wow. So, I think this could be
I remember when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
I had him as the best player in that draft over Jadeveon Clowney.
They released linebacker Eric Kendricks. I mean,
he's a cap hit.
Yeah, that was came down.
Mike Williams and him are cap hit.
And then, yes, Mike Williams, wide receiver. He's also gone and signed with the Jets, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
The Mike Williams one was interesting to me, too, because, I mean, you lost both of your three biggest offensive weapons in Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Ekeler, all in one big swoop.
So I think we'll get to it when we get to their draft class in a minute here, but I think they did enough to at least serviceably replace them. Obviously, you can't replace all of the reps and the production of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Gerald Everett. They lost Gerald Everett to the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thought they had an excellent draft when it comes to pass catchers. And I think if Harbaugh's running the offense that he wants to run, they're still going to be effective. That's just why Gus Edwards is there. Yeah,
that's exactly why.
They also lost cornerback Michael Vato Davis to the Washington Commanders. He went with Ekeler.
That's our guy. That's our guy in Washington.
Do you want to talk about some staff changes outside of Harbaugh and Horowitz before we...
Real quick, I had this longer because he poached all of the best assistants and best recruiters and best talent developers at Michigan. So, for an example, a name on this list is Mike Elston from the Michigan's defensive line coach, who initially agreed to stay, and then he left a week later. He was going to stay with Sherrone Moore. But Mike Elston developed all of these major defensive linemen, including they're going to have two first-round picks next year in Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. Those are Mike Elston guys. There's some really good hires in here. Steve Klinkscale's skills for defensive back.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
That doesn't bother you that he poached Michigan the way he did?
Hold on. No. I need to ask your opinion on his linebackers coach.
Go ahead.
The linebackers coach?
Listen, I'm a big fan of Navarro Bowman. That's my guy right there. Bowman was my guy. There was two guys that were my guys beside Ray Lewis. One was Vontaze Burfict. He's one of the best linebackers to ever play the game. Underrated, just because he had a few instances where he'd lose his mind. And then Navarro Bowman is the other one. Everybody talked about Patrick Willis being this generational player. Navarro Bowman is a reason why he was that.
They were both Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
You worshipped Navarro Bowman.
Navarro Bowman was, if the Lions could have had a guy like him, Matt Stafford would have had a Super Bowl in Detroit. Think I'm lying?
Oh,
he also brought in noted name that was with him in, I think Stanford was Greg Roman. Greg Roman's been all over the place, but he brought Greg Roman into the fold.
Jesse Minter.
And then, of course, Jesse Minter, who's attributed to college football's best defense over the last 2 years. So those are good gets. And Jesse Minter's father comes with him, who's got 40 years of experience. I mean, his staff is, it's got a shot to be good. I just don't love a lot of the players on the team, but he built out a great staff. A guy I didn't mention is Ben Herbert from Michigan, their strength coordinator,
who had
a major impact. Mark Trestman's there as an offensive analyst, and that's the one thing he did do well was call plays.
Yep.
I'm
shocked that you ain't upset that he absolutely fist pumped Michigan.
That surprises me. There's
so surprising.
There's so much attrition on the staff over the last couple years that they were just reloading staff members. That's how they were doing it. So that guys were never there more than 2 or 3 years, other than Sherrone Moore, who's now the head coach. So
anyway.
I love this draft class, if you want to talk about it.
I do want to talk about it.
I think they had a great draft.
I think we all agreed that Joe Alt was at least a top two tackle.
Yeah, and in mocks, a lot of people had them going receiver, and I'm like, no. I was always thinking to myself, no, if Joe Alt is there, they're either trading or they're taking Joe Alt. It's a Harbaugh guy. And they're going to have, arguably in a year or two, they're going to have arguably the best tackle tandem in football in Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater. That's pretty fucking good.
In the second round, 34, they went Ladd McConkey, Georgia wide receiver, another Harbaugh guy.
Ladd McConkey will never drop a ball, which is something that something that Herbert had to deal with over the last couple years was timely drops from Keenan Allen and especially Mike Williams. And last year,
who was the dude they were the third receiver?
The guy they drafted in the first round from TCU.
Palmer.
It was Palmer. It was the other one. The little dude that, number one.
He's gone now. I know what you're talking about. He's gone now.
He was playing with the Commanders for a few years. And then he was a punt returner, actually. And they split him into receiver.
DeAndre Carter.
There you go. Carter. Yeah.
DeAndre Carter.
Ladd McConkey's incredible. He was first-round talent. That's a steal.
I agree with that. He's probably one of the better receivers in this class because of his hands. He doesn't drop anything thrown at him. And guess what? He gets separation. That's what sets him apart from, you look at him and you're like, yeah, right. But his dad played for the Giants, I want to say. Was it his father?
Ladd McConkey? I'd have to fact check that.
There was a McConkey that played for the Giants years ago.
TBD. TBD. I'm doing a little bit of research on that. But in the third round, they went linebacker. And a guy who Zolo knows well. With the 69th pick, they went Junior Colson from Michigan.
That was one of Harbaugh's favorite players. He played basically the back half of the season, all those big games, with a club on his hand and was still extremely effective. Just a physical guy, and he fits perfect there. I think it's going to make them – I think it's going to make the Kendricks thing make a lot of sense. I think it's going to add up.
Okay.
Justin Ebigobe from Alabama, the D lineman they took in the fourth round, he was the only effective D lineman when they played Michigan. So I'm sure Harbaugh was looking at the tape and was thinking, I'm going to draft this guy.
He's trying to block him. So what better way than to get him to play for you, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. He had no issues. He made so many plays. That game could have been worse with big plays with Michigan's running backs, and he was the one making plays on the interior every time. And he could line up anywhere on the line, so that's a great pick there.
After that, they went with, gosh, this is going to be a butcher job.
Tarheeb Still.
Mm-hmm. Defensive back out of Maryland.
Tarheeb Baker.
Physical corner, physical at the line. Again, another Harbaugh guy. They're all Harbaugh guys.
Cam Hart, Notre Dame corner.
Yep. Same drill. Kimani Vidal. So Jim Harbaugh is obsessed with Hank Aaron. Kimani Vidal is Hank Aaron's grandnephew.
Oh God!
I wonder if that had anything to do with it. But
Hank Aaron, I hear you.
He's a athlete, Vidal. He was an athlete, and they could do a lot of things with him. And again, it's just another Harbaugh guy.
Hank Aaron.
I remember him playing baseball.
Hank Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, but Hank Aaron.
That'll tell you how fucking old I am.
Hank Aaron is one thing, but yeah. Harbaugh also went out and in the seventh round, the 225th pick, drafted a guy named Brendan Rice, wide receiver out of USC.
If this goes according to
two
plan,
wide receivers,
this is one
of
the steals
of
the draft. I really wish the Lions would have found a way to get back in the seventh round to get Brendan Rice. He's 6'2", he's quick. He was a touchdown machine last year. I don't know why he fell, but this was Caleb Williams' go-to when they were in goal-to-go situations. He was always open in the back of the end zone. And I have a hard time seeing Greg Roman not finding ways to get this guy open. I think he's going to be open a lot. And then Cornelius Johnson either had a really big catch or a drop at Michigan. He was great, though. He was a great safety valve. Again,
hey, he's a Harbaugh guy.
Yeah, I mean,
he's looking to bring his guys in there just like Dan Campbell does.
I think he's more of a safety valve at the end of the day, Cornelius Johnson, but very stout player. Listen, I don't hate their receivers. I don't hate them.
I was just looking at the receiving core that they have, and Palmer is still there. It's Palmer, Quentin Johnson, McConkey, Darius Davis, who's a speed freak, Simi Fehuku. Any help on this one? Simi Fehuku?
No idea.
Brendan Rice, Cornelius Johnson, and then a bunch of guys that I don't think anybody has ever heard of. But
listen, Jim Harbaugh is going to love having Quentin Johnson on his fucking team.
Oh, you know what?
Quentin Johnson's the one who ass-punched him, so you know what? He's going to love having this.
You know who the third QB is?
No, I don't.
Max Duggan.
Oh, God. Here you go.
They released him. The last regime released him, and then Harbaugh brought him back in. He signed him a few weeks back.
Yeah. Next up.
Harbaugh's not stupid, dude.
No, Max Duggan is excellent.
Doing. Next up.
He's a weirdo, but he knows what he's doing.
Uncle Sam's Las Vegas Raiders.
Before we get going any further, as I continue to make these lists, other than the Dallas Cowboys, I can't imagine a shorter list of transactions than we're going to get than what the Raiders did this offseason.
And there's a few on here that are. We'll start with the releases.
The Raiders.
On this one. They released quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. They released wide receiver.
Jimmy Garoppolo was released prior to any of that, no?
I think there was the steroid issue, suspension.
He got suspended, right. And then they released him right after that.
Correct.
And then the Rams signed him. Wide receiver Hunter Renfro, gone. He hadn't done anything in 2 years. Quarterback the ghost of Brian Hoyer also got released, as did defensive tackle Jerry Tillery.
Wasn't he released during the season, though? Because he was playing for somebody else.
No, these were all like February postseason. They may have been designated later, but no, these guys were released in February.
Okay.
Obviously, Antonio Pierce promoted to full-time head coach from interim. They hired a GM in Tom Telesco.
Came from the Chargers, yep. Knows the division. And again, not bad at talent evaluating, but.
Other staff moves. Marvin Lewis added as an assistant head coach. Why are you laughing?
Go ahead.
Luke Getsy, offensive coordinator.
That one. That's painful because they had Cliff Berry in the bag. They had Cliff Kingsbury in the bag.
And then he did it last second.
And then they pivoted to Luke Getsy, and I just don't think he's a good quarterback. I think that's why Justin Fields ended up turning into the shitter like he did is because of Luke Getsy.
And Patrick Graham.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that these guys don't own up to fucking teams up. Like that idiot offensive coordinator with the Jets. Go ahead.
I agree.
Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator. Any ideas?
Younger guy, Antonio Pierce guy. I mean, I wouldn't fret too hard about their defense. I think
I don't worry about their defense. Their defense is going to be very good.
Well, as far as signings go, wide receiver Michael Gallup. The Raiders have signed him away from the Cowboys. Guard Cody Whitehair. Also another guard, DJ Fluker.
Yeah, Fluker's been around the league.
Fluker?
They released him. Fluker, they released.
They released him?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. They did release him. I'm sorry. That one snuck in on me.
Those are depth. That's why I wish they would have went
offensive. These are all depth guys that you're seeing on this deal.
Well, there's not a lot of sexiness to the Raiders offseason.
You got to remember, they lost Josh Jacobs.
Right.
So the Alexander Mattinson, you might actually see him start. Maybe.
I don't think he'll be a starter there.
I mean,
don't think he'll be starting there, but I think he'll be a good role player in there. Kind of like he was prior to being the man and with the Vikings.
Zamir White is number one on the depth chart with Madison number two.
Jesus Who is? Christ.
Zamir White.
Yeah. Actually, he looked pretty good at the end of last year. He was fucking money.
For me, this was one of their biggest, this was probably their biggest move of the offseason was Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. That's bringing him in to solidify that defensive lineup a little bit alongside Max Crosby. That is a nice move. They signed your boy Gardner Minshew.
I don't think that's a bad deal. I mean, listen, they realized that they have a young guy there. Minshew's a little more seasoned vet.
Listen to me.
What?
He's dog a little shit. More He's vet. Dog
listen,
shit.
Listen, Minshew's... you can say what you want to say. He can put fucking numbers up. So they're looking. That's they're looking to run an offense.
I'll meet you guys in the middle.
So that's coming from the guy who held Ritter.
I like Desmond Ritter, and I think Minshew dog
all
shit.
Year.
Anyway,
I'll meet you guys in the middle. I don't know about putting numbers up, but I don't think Gardner Minshew's dog shit because he almost brought the Colts to the playoffs last year.
Correct.
Can we say Aiden O'Connell is dog shit?
He's not.
No,
he's not.
I don't think he won five games at the end.
You
of last
can't. Year. You can't do damage in this division when you're looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't do damage with those two as your quarterback.
Listen, there's one thing that the Raiders are going to have amongst all these other teams in this division. Their defense is going to be very good. They're going to be very good. They were very good at the end of last year, and they just got better.
Defensively, there's some playmakers. I will agree with
you're going. You're going to see. You're going to see some shit from them. And they're trying to, you know what? They're adding pieces to that offense that they needed. I know that everybody was not high on that pick with their first pick, but I thought it was incredible.
I'm high on Bowers. I'm not high on them taking Bowers because they could have done – they have so many other holes to fill, or they could have made a trade to get better. But I love Brock Bowers. I just think to see his full potential, it's a year away because they're going to need to either land a free agent or they're going to need Quinn Ewers next year, Carson Beck next year, or Shedeur Sanders next year.
So the mock draft for next year that Uncle Sam showed me earlier has Shedeur Sanders going to the Raiders at 9.
Sign me up.
That is. I mean, it doesn't get any sexier than that, in my opinion. Shedeur Sanders to Vegas.
They had two quarterbacks going in the first round in this next draft. And I still think if J.J. McCarthy would have stayed in school, he'd have been a fucking one or two overall. That's just my opinion.
Maybe.
It's my opinion. Fucking year or not would have been regardless.
Maybe he didn't want to go to the Bears.
I don't disagree with you.
Look at Drake May. What, third overall pick? He got picked third overall? Come on, dude. Look at his tape.
I agree with you. I don't know if I'm taking JJ. It depends. And I agree with you. He could have went number one next year, but you don't stay in school to go 9 picks better than where you were.
I stayed in school and graduated.
Listen.
He already graduated.
I'm going to say something. Regardless of what J.J. McCarthy did, he was going to find flaw in it.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If he would have waited till next year, he would have said, oh, he should have went this year. Anyways, Brock Bowers first round at 13, best tight end in the draft, probably not the best situation.
Generational tight end.
Second round, 44, Jackson Powers Johnson, offensive lineman out of Oregon. We all love that pick.
Another steal.
Steal, a steal there. Delmar Glaze in the third round.
They could have went so many other ways there, and I just think that, like, you know,
I think
Spencer Rattler.
I don't have an issue with that.
Why not take Spencer Rattler there and at least give yourself a shot to see what you got in your offense next? There's so many options that were on the board, and they went interior lineman again. Delmar Glaze is an interior guy. He's not a tackle. I like it.
Between Delmar Glaze and this guy, it sounds like the Key and Peele college football skit. DeCamarion Richardson, Mississippi State corner.
Listen, Mississippi State always puts good defensive players in the fucking Indiana.
DBs, too.
Do you know DBs. Who DeCamarion Richardson is?
Fourth-round pick. Offhand, okay. But I'm sure he can play.
A fourth-round pick in a draft filled with DBs. Yeah. Tommy Eichenberg was one of my favorite players I've ever seen at Ohio State. It's just tough. Linebackers are not they're like running backs. They're not valued like they once were. Tommy Eichenberg would have benefited going back for a year, but I think he could be a diamond in the rough and a guy that's very effective for them in the future.
Plus, they had just lost the inside guy that was where did he fucking go? Shit. Who did they lose?
Sorry.
Anyway, sixth round pick.
No, they lost one of the linebackers, Denzel Perriman. He was with the Raiders last year, no?
He was.
Yeah.
Sixth round pick, Dylan Lube, running back, New Hampshire.
He's actually, again, this is where you, like, there's guys that come out of nowhere that
Dylan Lube.
And he had a high RAS score. He's very quick. And I don't love their situation at running back to where this kid could have an impact. He was one of the higher ranked running backs in the draft. I don't get deterred by the fact that he was a sixth rounder. He kind of slipped a little bit. He could be an effective player for them.
At the moment, he's behind Amir Abdullah on the depth, the ghost of Amir Abdullah. I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Amir, inshallah. He does a lot of special teams for them. That's why he's still
turning shit.
He's
what
very
about what about MJ Devonshire? Do you know who that is?
No. No? I don't.
Do we know about Trey Taylor, safety out of Air Force?
No.
No.
Bruce, any input on that one?
No fucking idea.
Anyways, okay. Let's move on to the Denver Broncos, who recently debuted new jerseys that
they're throwbacks.
The throwbacks, but they have new home and away jerseys as well to go with the throwbacks, which I thought were dog shit.
I love their throwbacks.
The throwback,
that shit's from the 70s, the Orange Crush era.
The throwback.
Carl Mecklenburg era.
Early Elway.
Huh?
Early Elway.
You hated Tampa Bay's creamsicle.
Before Elway.
Because he's a hater. Yeah, you hate the creamsicle jerseys, but you like these.
Before Elway. I never hated the creamsicle jerseys.
It's well documented that you didn't like the Tampa Bay creamsicle jerseys.
What are you talking about, dude?
Dude.
It is what it is, dude.
Anyways.
That's from that flamboyant 70s era.
I like the throwback jersey.
I actually like their I'm in the minority, but second to the Lions, I like what the Broncos did. I thought it was a perfect
over. The Jets?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Wow.
The Jets did good work, but everyone who did a redesign did well for the most part.
See, this was
the Texans were great too. No, I like this, and there's a lot of, like, you have to study up on them to understand some of the things that they did, but one of the main things that they went for is they have all these crazy combinations now. They have orange, blue, and white pants, and now they have orange, blue, and white jerseys, and they wanted to work the combinations in because Denver used to change shit up all the time. Like, I remember the Jake Plummer Broncos would wear blue jerseys with white pants.
Orange and blue was just an accent.
Yeah. Well, now they prioritize blue. And
blue.
The Elway, that 90s Elway teams that brought blue, they won their Super Bowls in blue.
Correct. That's when they rebranded, too.
Yeah.
The old Denver stuff was taken out.
I think we've talked enough about the jerseys. I like them. I understand why you guys didn't.
When Elway won his Super Bowls, that was the new brand of uniform they had.
Biggest piece of news, they released Russell Wilson.
Well,
which we do
fucking laughs on the airplane and fucking, where's he at? Cleveland? Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh? Yeah, Pittsburgh. Okay. He'll struggle to beat out fucking
Fields.
Garbage Fields. Go ahead.
Well, we knew that was coming before the season ended last year. Chris Harris, legendary corner for them, retired.
That surprises me.
That's a big loss. I mean,
yeah,
he's a veteran guy who's been there forever.
He hadn't played there in a couple years. He's been a free agent since 2022. Like, he missed a lot. and that was his home, and he was good there. I mean, at one point, I think the Super Bowl team had Chris Harris and Aqib Talib.
Yeah,
and that's a hell of a That's
Chris
a hell
Harris
of a
was
young player on those teams.
He was, yes. Yeah. It was Soupy Harris, right? It's Chris Harris. And he just went back home to Denver to retire.
Good for him.
His couple days.
Good for him.
He's officially.
God bless Chris Harris.
They acquired defensive lineman John Franklin Myers from the Jets and signed him to a 2-year contract. Thoughts on John Franklin Myers?
They moved
solid
on.
Solid rotationary guy.
I may have omitted it by accident, but they moved on from Josie Jewell. And I think that the plan is to upgrade him into Josie Jewell's spot.
Josie Jewell, for me, was one of the guys that went really under the radar, really underrated. Yeah. Tackle machine.
At least they signed.
You know what he was to me? He was kind of like Luke Kuechly-esque to me. And I really enjoyed
poor man's. Poor man's.
The poor man's Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly was fucking
Josie Jewell. In the most momentous piece of news out of the NFL all offseason, they acquired quarterback Zach Wilson from the New York Jets. Declined his 5th-year option. And what did they give up?
Well, let's see how good of a coach fucking this guy is.
Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson will never see the field.
Zach Wilson, a viable backup quarterback in this league, I'll be shocked.
He will never see the field.
My problem is, this is just a project, and maybe it was a contingency in the event that they didn't get one of the quarterbacks, but it seems like they were always going to get one of the quarterbacks in the draft. My problem is Bo Nix is so old. He's married with children. Bo Nix and Michael Penix are old. That if there's any further development that needs to happen with Bo Nix, like, it doesn't make sense. I think Zach Wilson might even be younger than Bo Nix, if my math is correct. So you'll have to fact check me on that.
I think you guys put too much on his ages of quarterbacks. To me, it's ridiculous.
They are the same age.
He's been in college for 6 or 7 years, though.
It doesn't matter, man.
So how much more can you develop? You know what I'm saying? That's my gist.
Brock Purdy played for fucking 5 years in college, dude.
5 years?
Yeah.
Regardless.
Brock Purdy is younger than Bo Nix and Zach Wilson.
But he played that long in college, dude.
Can I say something about Zach Wilson?
Ahead.
He's third on the depth chart behind Jarrett Stidham.
There you go.
So maybe since he's in Colorado now, since he's closer to the Mormon headquarters, then he might be able to salvage some of his powers.
Maybe,
the closer he gets to Brigham Young.
Smith or
his mom's
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith.
The closer he gets
girlfriend.
To the birthplace of the prophet, he might be able to summon more powers.
Maybe.
And there's a ton of LDS Mormons in Denver, in the Colorado area in general. So who knows? Maybe Sean Payton can pull a rabbit out of a hat on that one.
I don't want to forget about Ben DiNucci, who is the fourth quarterback on the depth chart, who with this lineup actually does have a chance to be the day one starter. Outside of Zach Wilson, cornerback Levi Wallace. He is now a Denver Bronco, as well as defensive tackle Angelo Blackson. Anything there? No.
Wallace, where did he come over from?
Levi Wallace.
Pittsburgh? Where was he at?
Why do I want to say Buffalo? Hold on. Yes. No, Pittsburgh. You're right. He was in Buffalo prior to his thing.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. I thought he was in Pittsburgh.
Center, Sam Mustipher.
Okay.
Same drill. I think they're just trying to get assets to make sure that whoever plays quarterback has a lot
something
of
it. Yeah. Has something. Yeah. Big one for us. They signed wide receiver Josh Reynolds to a 2-year deal.
Hell of a football player for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a good get.
That could help him.
They also re-signed Will Lutz and Adam Trautman.
I love the signing of Cody Barton, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they need somebody to replace Josie Jewell. There's your guy.
Do you think that's the guy?
Yeah.
They signed wide receiver Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Okay.
As well as Malcolm Roach, Brandon Jones, and Michael Burton, fullback, to a 1-year deal.
I see a lot of these former Saint players going there. I don't get it.
In a big piece of news, though, a real big piece of news, they traded wide receiver Jerry Jeudy to Cleveland in exchange for 5th and 6th round picks. Now, Jerry Jeudy, never really lived up to the hype, but you have to say there were at points where he actually showed flashes that he could be great.
I don't think you can really blame him for the dysfunction that was there. I don't think you can hold him accountable for that.
No, I agree.
Yeah. You know.
Another wide receiver news. They re-signed Tim Patrick on a one-year deal. Released safety Justin Simmons, who seems like it's been there forever.
The Lions need to give Justin Simmons a call.
I would agree with that 100%. They gave Surtain his fifth-year option, obviously. And then you want to talk about their draft class? I mean, obviously, Bo Nix was the first.
I thought they had an outstanding draft class. Even if you could say Bo Nix is a reach, I thought it was smart of them to take a quarterback, unlike the Las Vegas Raiders. Jonah Ellis is one of 11 kids. It's Luther Ellis. I wanted the Lions to grab him because he's a legacy player. It's Luther Ellis is one of his sons. He's actually from Colorado. He's very effective, can play anywhere on the D-line. I don't know how Troy Franklin slipped to them in the fourth round because this was top 60 talent. Yeah. And Bo Nix gets one of his guys. And Troy Franklin's, I don't know what happened. Was it a bad medical or?
I don't know.
I don't know. There may have been a question about his groin or his foot maybe, but
I he's can't fast. Believe he wasn't in the top five receivers.
He's fast. He's got at least a 36-inch vertical. He's 6'3", I think. Like, this is it's a great get. These receivers are very serviceable. Reynolds, Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton, and Troy Franklin. Whoever's throwing to them, my guess is Bo Nix. That's a good pass-catching core, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's some good gets there. Chris Abrams' dream, same drill. He was top 90 talent. They got him in the fifth round. Came from a really stout and really heralded Missouri defense last year. I loved Esme from Notre Dame. I think he's a guy that could eventually crack. Who's their running back again?
So running backs right now on the Broncos is Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, and then Esteime is the third over Jaleel McLaughlin, who's fourth.
Which McLaughlin was great last year.
He had a really good.
And Javonte was he came on at the end, but there's some okay backs there. Not as enough pizzazz maybe, but I think their offense is going to be very serviceable and a little more back to what Sean Payton knows. I think that's how it's going to go next.
Wow.
Year.
Can I point something out real quick?
Yeah.
Blast from the past here on their depth chart is the third wide receiver right now. Philip Dorsett.
From the U? Philip Dorsett? Really?
I mean, I haven't
seen. I'm shocked that he's still
I haven't
in the
heard
league.
His name in probably 4 years.
I'm not enough of a Patriots fan to care.
Ah, yeah, see. That's my red, white, and blue came out there for a minute. Did we miss anybody as far as the draft goes?
Yeah, I mean, just depth guys. Devon Vallée from Utah and Nick Garuglio from South Carolina. Just their depth. They're not going to – they're development guys, but – nothing crazy sexy. That's a decent draft, though. There's going to be some difference makers in that draft.
Okay, so if we had to round this out, the AFC West, and we had to rank the teams in as far as their offseason went. This is an offseason recap. Not where we think they'll finish last year. Best offseason to worst offseason. I want to hear both your guys' thoughts.
There isn't a lot to like fall in love with for this division. You know, I like the Chiefs keeping a lot of their in-house assets. Like they're the best team in the league for the last 2 years. So you can call that a good offseason that they didn't have that much attrition. And then factor in that they added Xavier Worthy. I mean, it's hard for me to see any of these teams usurping them. I don't know about the Chargers offseason as a whole. Love their draft.
Yeah.
I thought they had an outstanding draft. The Raiders, I'm sorry, Uncle Sam, I don't see it. And Denver, I mean, I think this is a step in the right direction. It's going to be – Denver was in it last year in December. They were on the inside looking out in December, and then they just choked.
Russell Wilson.
And it's going to be a matter of how big of a step does the team take as a whole, and is their offense more competitive and better than last year? Because there were times where it just wasn't good and it wasn't effective. So ranking them, I mean, I'm going to go Chiefs 1. It's tough. It's tough to pick between the Chargers and the Broncos, but I'm just because of the draft, I'm going to go with the Chargers too. And that doesn't mean I think the Chargers are going to be some crazy in the hunt.
No, they
could
be a three-win team.
Yeah.
But
they're going to be more competitive. The Chargers have given away games for the last 4 years. They're going to be competitive next year. They're not going to give away games. Doesn't mean they're going to win games, but they're going to give their best shot to these teams in a division that was, you know, a lot of these teams were punching each other last year. The Raiders went into Arrowhead and won. They might have beat the Chiefs twice. Did they beat the Chiefs twice?
Yes, they did.
I would go Broncos third, Raiders last, but I'm hoping for the best for the Raiders because I like their coach. I like a lot of the guys that they have there.
Did you say the Raiders beat the Chiefs twice?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so they won on the road and then lost at home. Is that it? They won on the road in Christmas? Is it?
Hold on, Chiefs. They lost to the Chiefs on November 26th. But they beat they lost at home and won on the road.
Won on the road.
Yep. Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Will you rank your AFC West teams offseason?
I think it'll be Chiefs, Raiders.
No, we're not talking about where they'll finish.
Where I think they'll finish?
No. We're talking about who had the best offseason.
Well, I think the Chiefs had the best offseason.
And then?
I'm going to go with the Chargers there.
Okay.
I think they had a good offseason. They brought in a lot. Their draft was very good. And then the Raiders. And then I'm going to go Denver last because I don't think that they improved much beyond where they were last year.
That's what
it looks like to me.
It's hard to justify.
They just brought some guys in to replace what they lost. I mean, and the guys they brought in weren't fucking much better than what they lost.
They're relying on a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of contingencies.
They're
going to
rely on a lot of New Orleans Saints players to get them steered in the right direction, I guess.
So do we think that this division, I don't want to do a preview per se, but do we think that this division still, without question, belongs to Kansas City?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
What's your ranking?
My ranking? Yeah. Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. It's a realistically, I think the Chiefs are set in a league of their own. The Chargers had a very nice draft, but again, Zolo said attrition. They lost a ton of guys. They lost a ton of talent. You lost your four biggest weapons on offense, all right? Like, so you can try and fill those holes, but you're not going to right away. And we don't really – yes, Harbaugh was a great get, but right now there's question marks with the Chargers. I don't think Denver or the Raiders made themselves any better. But at least Denver went and got a quarterback. And it's not Aiden O'Connell, who I believe is dog shit. Or Gardner Minshew, who I believe is dog shit. But anyways, do you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Zolo, do you have anything else to add?
No.
What is our next division that we're coming back with?
I'm doing AFC. And then, you know, getting those out of the way. I think it's South.
South. I believe it's South.
Yeah.
So AFC South will be back with on Monday.
Which should be a lot more fun than this combo today because there were good drafts and good off seasons all over the board in the AFC South. Yeah.
Friday, we have a very, very special show. I am not going to say who, but we are doing an interview. So we will be back Friday afternoon with an interview. We'll be back Monday with our AFC South preview. We did post a graphic earlier that said we were going to do the AFC South preview on Friday. That is pushed back because this interview flew in last minute. So we'll be doing an interview Friday. We hope you come back to check that out. In the meantime, if you haven't gotten enough of us yet, you need to go to www.tipballs.com. Go to the blog section under Tip Thoughts. We are pumping out content. All of our thoughts that we don't get to share with you guys here will always be there. Go there, read it, send it to your friends. There's some good stuff there. Special shout out to Zolo for being an absolute blog champion this week and pumping out content. Other than that, if you're not following us on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok yet, you need to do so. It's at TipBalls on Instagram and Twitter, at TipBalls Podcast on TikTok. Our social media team is working very, very hard to give you guys stuff to double tap at all times, so go check that out. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, you can watch us on YouTube because we're live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays somewhere around 5. Remember to ring the bell and subscribe. You want to finish for me or no?
No.
so you know when we go live. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back Friday with an interview. Remember to check us out on tipballs.com.